A pleasant morning to you and YouTube land. We're delighted you've tuned in this morning. If you're a member of the O'Neill congregation and you're unable to attend this morning, we're delighted that we have this technology through which we can study. And we're thankful that you've tuned in. We know that we have some who are sick and some who've been confined to their home for some time. You're in our thoughts and in our prayers. We're also thinking about those who've lost loved ones and are grieving. We're praying for you. Ask that you continue to pray for our elders as they oversee the flock of God here. Encourage them in their work. We also ask that you pray for our deacons as they serve in that capacity. And also pray for Brother Guy and Sister Ann McDaniel. Brother Guy, Lord willing, will be preaching tonight, and we're so thankful for him and his ability. He does an outstanding job in proclaiming the truth of God, and we're thankful for him. If you do not attend O'Neill, we're so thankful you tuned in. We're grateful for this opportunity to study with you. Encourage you to get your Bible and study along. If you take your Bible and turn with me to the Hebrew letter and the second chapter, I want to read with you beginning at verse 14. In Hebrews 2, in verse 14, notice the statement made by the Hebrew writer. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want you to take note of the word death, and you might underscore that word in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. And the Hebrew writer touches upon that word, and it strikes our attention. Most people do not like to talk about or discuss death. That is a topic we try to avoid. And we often try to act as if it will never come, but in reality we know it will. Because later in the Hebrew letter, in the ninth chapter, in verse 27, it said, it is appointed for man to die, then the judgment. And so I recognize that whether you be rich or poor, whatever your skin color, whatever your gender, whether you be a saint or a sinner, all will die. The only exception is in 1 Thessalonians 4, if one happens to be alive when the Lord returns and we're called up to meet him in the air for the judgment. So I want you to look in your Bible and take note that in Hebrews 2, we start to see Jesus talking about defeating death. In order to prove this to you, I want to recall four deaths that Christ came in contact with. Take your New Testament and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Luke and the seventh chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the seventh chapter, notice, if you will, in verse 11, Jesus is going into the city of Nain, and the Bible says a large crowd is with him. But when he came near the gate of the city, look in verse 12, there's a dead man being carried out. And the Bible says he's the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the city was with her. So two large crowds meet, one going into the city and the other coming out of the city. And notice at this time, the Bible says that the one coming out is a funeral procession. But notice, if you will, the woman. The Bible says she was a widow. She'd already lost her husband, and now she's about to bury her only son. But look, if you will, carefully at verse 13. When the Lord saw her. Now, don't overlook that. No doubt when he saw her, his heart was touched. No doubt when he looked at that woman who was weeping and about to bury her only son, it cut him to the heart. He saw a woman in great agony. Then, notice the Bible said, he had compassion on her. He looked at her and he showed compassion. And he said to her, do not weep. Now, someone might say, well, what kind of a statement is that? I'll tell you what kind. Only one God could make. God, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ, said, do not weep. Now, why? Look at what he's going to do. In verse 14, he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. Now, get that picture in your mind. They've been walking with the body, and now they've come in contact with this other large crowd. And Jesus looks at the mother. He has compassion upon her. He says, do not weep. And then he walks up to the body. and the men who are carrying it stand still. And Jesus, notice the Bible says, touched the open coffin. And notice what he says, young man, I say to you, arise. Now look at that statement carefully. And notice, my friend, that the Bible says in verse 15, so he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Now look at that very carefully. Was dead, but he sat up and began to speak. Dead men don't do that. Jesus raised him from the dead. And notice, Jesus presents him to his mother. Oh, that's a powerful statement. In your Bible in Luke 7, have you ever thought about that Jesus handed him back to his mother? And can you imagine the feeling in their heart when all took place and when he came alive? And you know what the point is? Death is defeated. Here was a funeral procession interrupted, and Jesus showed compassion, and Jesus, by his might and power, raised that young man from the dead. Death defeated. But then if you take your Bible, turn over a chapter to the Gospel of Luke in the 8th chapter. First, we looked at an only son who had died. Now we look at an only daughter. And look, if you will, in Luke 8, beginning at about verse 42, and you'll see that this family is going through something similar. They're fighting the fact that their daughter is sick and to the point of death, and then she dies. But in your Bible, in the Gospel of Luke, in the 8th chapter, you'll find Jesus is going to do something. Notice, if you will, in verse 41, that the Bible says Jairus fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Now, Jesus takes time to heal a woman in this process. And I tell you, that shows his power, his compassion, his mercy, and his love. But while he's doing that, I want you to take note, my friend, that at that time they came and said to him in verse 49 to Jairus, said, your daughter is dead. Can you imagine hearing those words? He's away from home. He's not even with her. He'd come to thank Jesus, and now they come and say, don't trouble the teacher. Your daughter is dead. But notice what Jesus says in verse 50. Do not be afraid. Again, who can make such a statement? Only the Christ. He said, do not weep. Now he says, do not be afraid. Only believe and she'll be made well. And notice in verse 51, when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. And it said, all wept and mourned for her. And he said, do not weep. Again, Jesus says, do not weep. I'm going to do something. And she's not dead, but sleeping. And notice the people ridiculed him, knowing she was dead. But he put them all outside, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, little girl, arise. Now look at verse 58 carefully, or 55 carefully. Then her spirit returned. What happens at death? The spirit departs the body. It goes back to God. But in this case, the spirit returned. Why? Jesus told it to. Jesus had power over death. And what we see is a picture of death defeated. He commanded something be given her to eat. And notice in verse 56, the parents were astonished. Back in Luke 7, the crowd was astonished when he raised him from the dead. I want you to think about, my friend, that this shows the power Jesus has over death. Here was a young man who had died and a young girl 12 years of age. And notice in both cases, what does Jesus do? Jesus raises them from the dead. I like that statement. I think about, my friend, that here's Jesus. Here he is, the Son of the living God. And though the people laughed him to scorn, Jesus raised her from the dead. You ever thought about those parents? They were astonished. Wouldn't you be? I've often wondered how they looked at Jesus after that. But the point is, death defeated. And then take your Bible and look in the book of John in the 11th chapter. And this is familiar to all. When Jesus had a friend who died, identified as Lazarus. First there was the only son, and then there was the only daughter. But now this one is a close friend to the Lord, his friend. And notice in your Bible in the book of John in the 11th chapter, that Jesus had come to the city of Bethany where he was. And notice what is said to Jesus. Jesus had been told by both Martha and Mary, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. And look at verse 33. Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, and he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Look at the compassion he has again. Sometimes we think no one cares when there's death. Jesus knows that sting. He came to remove it. But look again, if you will, in verse 34. Where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And look at verse 35. Jesus wept. And then the people started saying, see how he loved him? Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying? And Jesus again groaned within himself. Look at that statement again. Jesus groaned. But look again what he said. Open your Bible back and look again at verse 39. Jesus said, take away the stone. Here he was buried in a cave and a stone lay against it. And he said, take away the stone. And Martha said, oh no, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He stinks. There's a stench by now. And notice Jesus says, I tell you, take away the stone. I told you I was going to do something. He said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Look at that very carefully. Look at that with intense and purpose. And notice, my friend, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Some might think Jesus stood there and silently said, come out. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. And then my Bible says he came out. Look at that carefully in verse 44. He who had died, past tense again, came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Have you ever thought about that? There are three cases we see where someone had died and Jesus showed his power over death. Death defeated. Now then, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of John in the 20th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 20th chapter, look at Jesus' own death. And you'll remember they had taken Jesus, they'd scourged him, they'd mocked him, they'd beaten him, and they put him upon the cross with that crown of thorns upon his head. And there he died upon the cross of Calvary. But when you take your Bible and turn to the book of John in the 20th chapter, you'll find that at this time, Jesus had been raised from the dead. In John 20, in verse 11, it said, Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And the Bible says she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had laid, past tense. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said, because they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now look at your Bible carefully. He's been raised from the dead. She thought he was the gardener in verse 15. And said, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Oh, that's powerful. Here is Jesus, and he asked, why are you crying? And she said, my Lord is dead. Notice she still called him Lord. And at first she thought he was the great keeper of the graveyard. But when Jesus spoke to her, she said, Master. He had been raised from the dead by the power of God the Father. That's what's brought out in Ephesians 1. What's the point? Death defeated. I want to take that. I want to think about two or three things for us in the lesson series. I want us to think about right now. There are people who are spiritually dead who are listening to this. They're dead in their sin. They're physically alive, their heart's beating, their brain's working, their body's functioning, but spiritually, they're separated from God. Death is separation. What did we say about the little girl? When the spirit departed the body, there's a separation. There's death. take your Bible and turn to the book of James in the second chapter for just a moment. And when you come to the book of James, notice what James said in James 2 about death. He said in verse 26, "For as the body with the spirit, without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." Death is a separation. And so there are people who are spiritually separated from God. In your Bible, in Isaiah 59 and verse 2, he said, "Your sins and iniquities have separated you from God." Take your Bible and turn to the Ephesian letter and the second chapter. And look at what the Apostle Paul said in verse 1. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now look at that carefully. You were dead. That's past tense. But when you became a child of God, he made you alive spiritually. He reconciled you to God. You are now alive to God. Look again at what he said. He said, "At one time you were dead because you walked according to the prince of the power of the air. And you conducted yourself in the lust of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And you were by nature children of wrath. But God," in verse 4, "who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places where? In Christ." And look at one little statement I didn't speak. "By grace you've been saved." What everyone needs is to obey the gospel so they can receive the grace of God. You ever thought of that? That some people are spiritually dead. They are separated from God. But they, my friend, if they die in that condition, they'll be separated from God for all eternity. They'll be lost without any hope. They're like the prodigal in Luke 15, who when he was away from the Father, he was lost. He said, "My son which is lost is found. My son which was dead is alive." He had been reconciled. Open your Bible to the Roman letter in the 6th chapter. And time won't permit us to look at all, but just notice a statement made in Romans 6 beginning at verse 3. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." As great as it would have been to see that man who had died been raised, that young man coming out of Nain, or to see the young girl raised, or to see John or Lazarus raised. I'll tell you, every time we see someone baptized for remission of sins and raised up, that, my friend, is a great sight, because they were spiritually dead, but now they're alive in Christ. They've been reconciled to the Father. They're back in relationship with God. That separation has been taken away, and they now have access to the Father through Christ, their mediator, their intercessor, their propitiation, their high priest. But I'll tell you, physical death will come. But for the Christian, those who've been baptized, you're born twice, you'll die once. But if you've only been born once, you'll die twice. And I'll tell you, we need that second birth that Jesus talked about in John 3. We need to be born with water and spirit. We need to be baptized for the remission of sins, so that when physical death comes, my friend, that is not the end, but just the beginning. Take your New Testament and turn with me to 3 or 4 passages as we close. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, if we had the time, we could just go through 1 Corinthians 15 and we could see a lot of great teaching about death and about life beyond the grave. But when you look in 1 Corinthians 15, look, if you will, at verse 24 and 25. "Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet." Now look at verse 26. "The last enemy that will be destroyed is death." That's why in Revelation 21:4 it talks about in heaven there'll be no more tears, because there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. In heaven, you're alive forever. Oh, I would I could get that into the hearts of men and women. That's why Paul could write at the end of his life in 2 Timothy 4, 6, 8. He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished the rest. I kept the faith. And there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And not only for me, but for all those who love his appearing." I want to ask you a question. Are you ready to die? You're not ready to die if you've never been baptized. Because baptism is putting to death the old man, being raised to walk in newness of life. You've buried that old life. You've been raised up. And now you're with God. You're a child of God. You're an heir of Abraham. You're an heir of Christ. What a thought to be a child of God. Then death is defeated. I won't have to fear physical death because I have made my life right with God and I have been reconciled to God. There's no more separation between me and God because I've obeyed His word and by His grace I've been brought near to Him. Question. Can you say death defeat? Let's pray. Our Father, we're so thankful for the many blessings of this life and that through your Son we have hope of eternal life. Help us, Father, to obey your word and that death be defeated in our life. And that when we come to the end of this life, we have no fear, for you are with us. And we know that we have eternal life with you. Father, help us to be assured of that through your word and by obeying your will. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.